There are a number of choices we can make in life which will take us down a specific path. Yet there are really only two choices to live by. As we begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse Radio, let's start our broadcast with this comment from Mike McIntosh.
So you're plugged in today. You're either plugged into the trunk of the kingdom of God or the trunk of the kingdom of this world. You either have the energy and the death source flowing through your veins and your actions and your vocabulary and your banking and your mind and your relationships of that of this world that's controlled by the devil. Or you have the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, prayer, the kingdom of God, the whole thing that Jesus promised with his death, burial, and resurrection flowing through your life.
And I'll stand up and shout and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
This is the Monday broadcast of Chapter and Verse Radio. Our teacher, Mike McIntosh, is continuing our series in the Gospel of John. And for the next several days, we're going to look at a portion of his series that he's titling, Falling in Love with the Holy Spirit. There are many influences that want to grab our attention, and so many are ungodly. As believers, some of the blatant temptations are easy to turn from. But there are many subtle distractions that take the discernment of the Holy Spirit to steer clear from. Now let's take a look at this person of the Holy Spirit and how we need him in our lives to speak to us when the world is yelling at us to turn from God and righteousness. Now let's get right to our teaching as we turn to the Gospel of John chapter 15 and listen to Pastor Mike.
Hey, would you turn in your Bible to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel, and we're going to begin a series from John on the thought of falling in love with the Holy Spirit. We begin by looking at the power of the Holy Spirit to allow us to abide in Jesus Christ. In the last service, a lady came up and introduced herself. She came with her daughter, who is going to have a baby in 3 weeks, and her son-in-law. This lady was born in born. Her father's worked in Saudi Arabia since 1958. And she watches every week our services in Saudi Arabia. And so she came here for her vacation and was in the last service. And it was a delight to meet her. And she was just so thrilled. She takes the messages and then does Bible studies for the women in the American compounds over in Saudi Arabia. So it's a real thrill to see the Lord using the internet. We know there are many people watching on the internet right now. This series on falling in love with the Holy Spirit is a positive series for you to personally fall in love with the Holy Spirit. I wrote a book, Fall in Love with Prayer, Fall in Love with the Bible. And this is along that theme that the things of God are something to fall in love with. But many people don't know about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has so much to give you. One side of the church, the Pentecostal charismatic side, sees the Holy Spirit as Mr. Gift. Another side, the conservative or fundamentalist, see him as the authoritarian or the teacher. I think there's middle ground with him. I've loved knowing him. I've loved hearing his voice in supernatural times, not being aware of what was going on, but knowing that I had to be doing what he wanted me to do and be bold about it sometimes. And I want you to get to know the Holy Spirit as a person, that he can move through your life and talk to you and you hear his voice. And he said that he'd never talk about himself, but he would talk to us about the things that the Father and the Son are discussing in heaven. So he's in this meeting right now. He's in many meetings around our county and around our country, around the world. And he has the ability to just be everywhere at one time. My prayer is that your life could be changed from this day and that you would learn to abide in Jesus like he asked us to abide in him, and that you would call upon the person of the Holy Spirit to give you this power to abide in him. So I'm going to say a special prayer for you right now, if you wouldn't mind bowing your hearts. Lord Jesus, we're grateful that you are not a religion. We're grateful that you are alive and that we're not here trying to learn a dogma or ism or a doctrine. We're here to fellowship with you. And we would pray a special blessing that the Holy Spirit would be sent from heaven at this moment to baptize us all afresh with your love, and that he would speak to us about the things of our Father in heaven. So, dear God, in Jesus' name, would you be honored through us by helping us abide in Jesus Christ so that we could bear much fruit, and that would bring glory to you by how we live. And so, Father, this is supernatural. We cannot create it. We can't make it. Only you can. And so there are people here that are sitting on top of the world right now, and they need to hear one thing from those that are down at the bottom of the social ladder, and those that are rich and those that are poor, those that are happy, those that are sad. Your Holy Spirit has the ability to bring us all right into your throne room. So we invite him to do that right now and to unleash your presence in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll follow along, I'm going to read to you the first 8 verses of the 15th chapter of St. John's Gospel. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. You can underline this. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you may want to underline this, for without me, you can do nothing. In fact, let's all read that out loud together, okay? For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he's withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So, in that case, you shall be my disciples. Bearing fruit shows you're a disciple of Jesus. You know, each individual needs to see their position, their personal own position, in relationship with God. Now, some of you don't have a position with God. You know about him, you think about him once in a while, but you don't really have a position. You don't pray, you don't serve him, you're living your life. You're going on living your life, but your life can end. It can end at 20, it can end at 40, it can end at 60, it can end at 100 if the Lord were to allow it. But then some of you do have relationships. They're fringe relationships with God. And then others of you have committed relationships. Some of you have waffle relationships. You waffle a lot. And you go back and forth between the world and the kingdom. And some of you have strong relationships. Now, he's talking about abiding and finding the source of all of your life and all of your power in him. We're just a branch, nothing more than a branch. We think we're it. But he says, no, he's the trunk. He is the true vine, and we're just branches. So when Jesus taught the Christians their position being that of branches, it immediately shows the believer their tremendous responsibility to rely on the main trunk of the vine. So you're plugged in today. You're either plugged into the trunk of the kingdom of God or the trunk of the kingdom of this world. You either have the energy and the death source flowing through your veins and your actions and your vocabulary and your banking and your mind and your relationships of that of this world that's controlled by the devil. Or you have the love of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures, prayer, the kingdom of God, the whole thing that Jesus promised with his death, burial, and resurrection flowing through your life. So the source of all you do is coming from one of two places. Jesus is very clear about that to all of us. But he also pokes us to action by always reminding us that our total future and our existing presence is in the hands of the husbandman. Anything you think you're doing, it's all in God's hands. Anything that's going to happen 5 years or 10 years from now, it's all in God's hands. You and I can't control it. Oh, we can make decisions that'll end up being wrong decisions to get us where we'll be 5 years from now. But ultimately, if we're nothing more than a branch and we're not the main event in the garden, then we need to get our source from the main event. And then we need to realize God's in charge. He prunes, he trims, he brings the fruit off, he packages the fruit, he ships the fruit out, he fertilizes the ground, he turns the soil, he protects the vineyard. He does everything. There's nothing that we can do. We just need to be submissive and listen to him. And that's the joy of really walking with the Lord. Now, we make it more complex than it really is, and it doesn't have to be that way. And many times in our lives, you say, that doesn't add up. How did this happen? How did we get here? It doesn't add up. And I came across some math statistics that might help you see that we use math, and many times our adding and subtracting never adds up. And you could be a very frustrated woman today or a very angry man today, and things have never added up for you, and you're going to learn that you have made the decisions. You have run the show. It's been based on your education and your checkbook, your likes and dislikes. A branch doesn't have anything to do but to bear forth fruit. And he tells us if it doesn't, it's not good for anything. So there are what are called, romance mathematics. A smart man plus a smart woman equals romance, but a smart man and a dumb woman equals affair. And a dumb man plus a smart woman equals marriage. So it may not always add up. Some of you work in the office and you say, I don't know what's going on here at work, but office arithmetic is a smart boss plus a smart employee equals profit. A smart boss plus a dumb employee equals production. A dumb boss plus a smart employee is a promotion. And dumb boss and dumb employee equals overtime. You know, we get involved in things and we don't know why we're involved in them, but they just happen. There's shopping math. A man will pay $20 for a $10 item he needs. A woman will pay $10 for a $20 item that she doesn't need. Things don't add up all the time, do they? Then there's some general equations and statistics. A woman never worries about the future until she gets married. A man never worries about the future until he gets a wife. A successful man is one who makes more money than his wife can spend. And a successful woman is one who can find such a man. Then it begins to add up for us, I guess. You know, you stop and think of it. But if your life isn't adding up, it may be that you're in charge. You're running the show. And that's why there's weird fruit. You know, you can go to the stores and you can buy plastic fruit. And you can put it in a bowl and you can set it on your table. It looks very attractive, you know, some bananas, some apples, some oranges. But if you were to invite me over and I'm just walking by and I reached in and I bit into one of those apples, that wouldn't be too good, would it? I mean, be paraffin between the teeth. But many people have plastic fruit. They look like they're bearing fruit. They look like they know what they're doing. They look like it all adds up, but it's phony, completely phony. He begins by saying, I am. Once again, we hear from the great I am. At the burning bush, Moses said to God, who shall I tell Pharaoh and the Israelites who has sent me, the Jews? And he said, tell him that I am has sent you. Because I am that I am is eternity. And only God can say that I am, because the minute you say I am, you'd have to say I was. Because time just passed by. I am, I was. Well, I am right now, but I was, I am then. With God, it goes on forever. You tell him the eternal God sent you. When the soldiers, 200 of them, came to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we saw that his question was, who is it that you're looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus responded, I am. And they all fell over backwards at his word. Now he is the great I am, saying, I'm the true vine. If there is a true vine, one must surmise that there must be a false vine. And you may be eating the false fruit, and you may be producing the false fruit. You may be so far from reality that it's going to take some major event in your life to shake you to your very foundations, to challenge you to the depth of your soul. But again, Jesus declares his relationship with the Father. It all goes back to the Father. There is a God, and he's my Father, and I'm submitted to him. Now, if you look up the word husbandman in the Strong's Greek and Hebrew dictionary, it simply says tiller of soil, a vine dresser. That's what the husband was. You can say, is that a landscaper? Well, it meant a little bit more than that, because Jesus gave parables about the leadership of a husbandman. He was the proprietor of the vineyard. He made his living off the vineyard, off the orchards. He was the guy, the final say-so. That whole vineyard and orchard was planted and taken care of, even if he hired people to take care of it for him, that they were the laborers, and he benefited from the fruit of it. So you are nothing more than a plant in the midst of God Almighty's tremendous vineyard. But your ego could be so huge, you think it all revolves around you, and that things wouldn't happen unless you were involved in doing it. So God would like to change that, because that's going to keep you from the kingdom of heaven. The fruits he was looking for, when you stop and think of it, have to do with what's inside of us. Turn and read with me in the Old Testament to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 1. I'm going to read to you just verse 1 through 7. But I'd like you to go to Isaiah with me. I don't know if you're aware of what the Dead Sea Scrolls are. There is a shrine of the scrolls in Jerusalem where they reside, under heavy security and heavy guard. There was a shepherd boy many years ago that was tending a flock of sheep down by the Dead Sea, down by the area of Jericho, and the area known as the Qumran, in the Qumran Caves. And he was just chucking some stones one day, and he heard something break. And he went into a cave that was very secluded, and he found jars in there with these scrolls. Now, there was a group of people during the first century, the Essenes, that lived down there, and they were scholars. And they have found the Bible written from the beginning in these scrolls. One of them that is very fascinating is the book of Isaiah. Very much so, the book of Isaiah is word for word translated the same as the King James Bible. So there are different translations, but the closest to the scrolls, and when they come, you need to just go see them because they're history. They're eternal history, too. Isaiah was intact, and they found the truth. Now listen to what he says here in Isaiah 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof. And he planted it with the choicest vine, and he built a tower in the midst of it, and he also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Now we know that in the first reading, it's obvious it's poetic. Second reading, it's obvious that it's a metaphor that he's using for his people, for the Jews, and for Israel, and that there was a purpose in their life. The third glance over it, you can obviously see it's for the New Testament, it's for the church. It's for the Christian community. Fourth glance over, you can very easily see it's for a believer, a non-believer, a Jew or a Gentile. It's for every human being. That we were placed in this vineyard of planet Earth with a purpose in mind by God, and for us to be able to be called on by God at any time to produce the fruit that will bring glory to Him. But He comes to the majority of people's lives, individually, church-wise or national-wise, and there are nothing but wild grapes sprouting out. And he has every reason to be upset that your life does not bear what he designed it to bear. He's the true vine. We're nothing more than a branch. So he says through the prophet Isaiah, wild grapes. Now he fenced it. Some of you have a New King James or other translations, and it doesn't say fenced it. Now when I first read this and went through several translations, I realized he dug it out. I thought, boy, that's a big, big difference there. If I don't have a fence around protecting me, I'm in big trouble. So I really like that it's fenced it. However, somebody came to me in the last service, two couples that had gone on vacation to England. And they'd gone to a castle. And in the castle where the moat was, were sheep. It was called a dugout. And I said, no kidding, I didn't know that. And he said, they call that a ha-ha. And I said, why do they call it a ha-ha? He said, because there isn't a fence around it, but they put the sheep down in the dugout, and it's like, ha-ha, you can't get out of this. And so it's a vernacular to the English people. You're in a dugout. You're a ha-ha-ha. Let's see you get out of this. So I say, okay, I accept that. They're trapped, basically, and it's like a fence around them. But I like the idea of a fence. I can visualize a fence. And how, as a guy that never had boundaries, watched God in the early days of my Christian experience and discipline put a fence around me. And how I was rebellious and kicked my heels and said, I don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. And then I realized that fence was there for my own good. I was a free spirit that would get myself in trouble. And now I thank God for the fence and I thank for the dugout. Now I ask him if there are little sheep in there. Is that a mini ha-ha? They didn't know if that was or not. Verse 3, and now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. So God's a pretty confident God. I want you to judge between me and the vineyard I planted. I want you just to take a look and you come up with what should take place here. Now look at verse 4. You may want to circle this and put neon signs on it. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Let's put ourselves there. What in the world more could God do for you than he has already done your whole life? What in the world could God have done more for the United States of America than what he has done for this country, and this country has turned its back on him? There has never been a country on the face of the earth as blessed as this country. What more could he do? The best technology, at one time the number one education system, now one of the lowest. At one time one of the greatest health and medical systems in the world, now one of the lowest. At one time one of the greatest scientific communities, now down in the mediocrity area. What more could he do for a nation that he gave the wisdom to travel into outer space? To be able to irrigate deserts, to feed so much that they could feed nations around the world with their excess, to export things and to educate people from all over the world. What more could he do for the people of the United States of America than what he has done? And yet, we have become wild grapes. What more could he do? What more could he do for you that have health today, and you've never once thanked him for it? What more could he do for you that have money? That has given you so much. What more? And you could go on and on. What more could God do to even let us out of bed in the morning? Sometimes I wonder, why did you even let me out of the house today? I'm a menace to the community out here the way I feel right now. Lord, help me. But what more could he do, ladies and gentlemen? And yet, we just ignore him and we're flipping about him. So he says, I want you to judge. What more could I do? All I did was I planted it, I protected it, I went to get grapes, I get wild grapes. And then he says in verse 5, and now go to, I tell you, what I will do to my vineyard. I'm going to take away the hedge thereof, and it's going to be eaten up. And then I'm going to break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Do you remember when Lucifer, Satan, the devil himself, came before the throne of God with the angels, and God said, what are you doing here? Where have you been? Means he is unsubmissive. God knew where he was, but he hadn't reported in. He does his own thing. A wild grape in the midst of all these submitted servants. He says to him, all I've been to and fro throughout the earth, seeking who I can devour. Well, have you considered my faithful servant Job? The word considered in the Hebrew is a military term. It's the term that the council of warriors and generals would use, considered. Have you considered how to attack Jericho? Do you have every little thing about this town and this army we're taking on? Do you know their resources? Do you know where they have their weapons cached? Do you know how many? Have you considered every element to go to war and to win this war? The frightening thing, God using that word with Satan, is Satan said, yes, I have. You better believe that he has considered every weakness you have. He said the only reason that he is blessed or he's alive and doing well is because you have blessed him and you have put a hedge about him. God has put a hedge around you, possibly.
Falling in love with the Holy Spirit, that's been our subject today on Chapter and Verse. We'll find more practical applications from the pages of Scripture next time when Mike McIntosh again leads us in a fascinating look at this person who makes up the Trinity. If you'd like to hear more teachings from Mike about improving your relationship with God, just log on to our website at MikeMcIntosh.com. That's MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through John, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMcIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that Chapter and Verse only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So we do appreciate you praying for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Please be sure to tune in again tomorrow for more from our teachings in the New Testament and the Gospel of John with our teacher, Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.